Lent is always a return to the basics. Lent is a renewal of the covenant. Covenant to me is always about God saying to people generation after generation, I will be faithful to you even if you're not faithful to me. So that first week of Lent, we looked at Noah, was before us. And then last week was Abram and that long story of the sacrifice of Isaac. Now we fast forward 400 years to the time of Moses. And the only thing the people Israel knew was slavery. For over 400 years, they were slaves. And God was silent. There was no activity of God. And the only thing they knew was just labor and oppression and heaviness of heart. Until Moses comes, who's the rescuer. God sends Moses as a rescuer and a deliverer and a savior. And as it unfolds, so they've only known slavery for 400 years. And through the hand of Moses, the intercession, that God's using Moses, right, he delivers his people, right? All of those plagues. Eventually, there's the Passover. The one thing Moses, the first thing Moses asked the people to do was on a particular night, each household was to take a lamb, to kill the lamb, to take the blood from the lamb, wipe the doorposts, and then they had to eat the lamb. If they did that, their family was spared the death of the firstborn. So I always use that teaching of what? To kill, to spill, and fill. You have to eat the fill. You have to eat the lamb if you're going to be saved. And then as it unfolds, now they're, so Pharaoh, just they're moving through the Red Sea and he delivers them a rescue. Now they're in this land, wilderness, and every morning they'd come outside of their tent and there would be like manna, bread on the ground. And they would learn that God would provide their daily bread. Like God could be trusted. So all of that, that whole sense of being delivered, of being rescued. The only command was to spill the blood, to eat the fill of the lamb. And then they learned that God could be trusted. Now that's the backstory to today's reading. Because it's the giving of the Ten Commandments. And as you hear them, two things. Remember, one, relationship before rules. Relationship before rules. And the second piece, rules without a relationship leads to rebellion. Let's be attentive to how the Word of God will form us this day. Does anybody know who was the first person to download from the cloud and write on a tablet? Moses. That's right. The Ten Commandments, they're a great tool for examination at the end of the day. They're certainly helpful as we prepare for the sacrament of confession. And the Ten Commandments, again, hear it from the perspective of relationship before rules. Isn't that how it opened? The Lord God, I am the Lord your God who led you out of Egypt. I led you out of that place of slavery. And so that first commandment's all about idols, to have no other idols before me. First, it's helpful to remember, number one, just to do a little reflection about how the Lord God has set you free. Perhaps from low points in your own story, perhaps some addiction, just some habits, just that place of great waywardness, and the Lord never gave up on you. Pope Francis speaks about in terms of spiritual amnesia, like we forget what God has done. And then the idols, Like, what are the idols? You shall not have false gods before me. St. Thomas Aquinas says there's four basic idols: power, possession, pleasure, prestige. And they're common to every person here, including myself. Power. I'm in control. I know what's right. I know what's best for me. I know. I want to determine the outcome of this. That's an idol. Possessions, where we define our identity or our worth or our value based upon what we accumulate. And we become attached to that idol, as if our identity rests in that. Or pleasure. That's all about the sensual appetites. This need to be filled, to be happy, to be content. And it's all based upon the physical sensual appetites of the flesh, or prestige. I'm more preoccupied, more concerned about what others think of me. I'm always motivated. How will this look? How will this be perceived? What do they think of me? Am I better than? The idols: power, possessions, pleasure, prestige. So what's the idol you're wrestling with? And the response, here it is. It's a simple five-word prayer that can help deliver you from these idols. I will trust God always. Not when it's convenient. Not when it's going my way. I will trust God always. The second commandment: do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Of course the name of God is holy. Of course we should not swear by the name of God. But I think it's much deeper than that. In fact, I think it's just at the heart of what Jesus was so frustrated with as he went into the temple and he saw this very natural religious display about sacrificing of animals, sheep, oxen, doves. That was very normal. That's part of the Mosaic law. But here it was. The people were convinced that they could bargain with God, barter God. Like, if I do this X, Y, and Z, then God will give me what I want. That's taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. And keep holy the Sabbath. Of the Ten Commandments, this is the one that's the most detailed. I mean, it talks about children, it talks about spouse, it talks about slaves, it talks about the foreigner, it talks about how God rested on the seventh day. Like, again, the people Israel, the only thing they knew generation after generation was slavery. And now they're being invited in to see life in a whole new way. Like, one day of the week is different than the other 6 days. At the heart of the Sabbath is trust. I will renew my trust in God and God first. Not God second, not God if it's convenient, but I will renew my trust. And not only I will, but my household. And I will be a witness to others about the centrality of God in my life. So when you keep holy the Sabbath, when you make church a Sunday ritual in your life, you are in a very, I mean, it's one thing to say, I believe in God. Anybody can say they believe in God. But show me by your actions. Show me as a family. Be a witness to your neighbors. Isn't that one of the great, just continuous erosion as we push God farther and farther to the margins? And there's greater and greater chaos in Western society, where we place ourselves in the center. At the heart of the Ten Commandments is this invitation to worship. That's what defines. So the first tablet for God, about idols, about name, about worship. Well, then it only follows that the next seven commandments are going to be about relationships with others. And you start with the family. The family is the basic unit. If the family's whole and intact, so it expands. So honor your parents. The one command I grew up with, don't talk back to your mother. How are you doing with your siblings? Are we in relationship with our family and our loved ones? That's where it starts. You shall not murder. You shall not take the life of another human being. And yet here we are in our nation. Over 60 million abortions have occurred since the legalization of Roe v. Wade. A gradual erosion of life. And now some countries are even determining which life has value, and that euthanasia is even being allowed and protected. You shall not commit adultery. That's what breaks down the marriage. It wreaks havoc in relationship with the family and the spouse and the children. And it impacts just beyond. You shall not steal. Don't take the reputation of another by your backbiting, your gossip, your slander. Don't steal their reputation. Bear false witness. And then to covet. The last two are about coveting. I think not to covet, it's as simple as this, and you know this. You have two children playing, and there's a toy. And as soon as one child grabs the toy, the other child wants the toy. That's what coveting is. That's just what it is. Where you want something and your motivation is because they have it. The invitation, the Lenten journey, is always about renewing our covenant with the Lord. God is faithful, even when we're unfaithful. But the relationship precedes the rules. And rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And thus, when we gather for the Eucharist, and that's why it's so important to come to church. Because at the heart of worship is what? What they came to know, our ancestors, that it was the blood of the Lamb and the eating of the flesh of the Lamb. So when you say amen, you're renewing your covenant. I will be faithful to you, for you have been so faithful to me.